Welcome back, everyone. You know, we love to take deep dives here, and today we're going way back to ancient Israel. That's right, we're exploring the idea of godly leadership. What can a model for, well, for ancient kings from the Old Testament tell us about leadership today? I think you'll be surprised at what we find. Specifically, we'll be focusing on Deuteronomy and Joshua. Oh, and we're diving into an excerpt from a lecture by Dr. David Howard. You know, he talks about the books from Joshua all the way through Ruth.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? You know, we often think about leadership as this modern idea, but then you look back in these ancient texts, wow, they have some really powerful, insights, and they still apply today.
Okay, so let's jump right in, shall we? Let's start with Deuteronomy 17. Moses, knowing the Israelites would eventually demand a king, he laid out some ground rules, didn't he?
He did, and it's not what you might expect. It's not about military strength or, you know, political savvy. The most important thing to Moses, the core of it all, really, is a deep understanding of God's law.
Interesting. So it's less about strategy and more about having a moral compass, like a strong one.
Exactly. And Deuteronomy 17:18-20, that's where it's really highlighted. The king is commanded to, get this, write out a copy of the law himself. And not only that, he has to keep it close and study it all the time. It can't be delegated, can't even have someone read it to him. He has to internalize it.
Wow, that's a really hands-on approach, especially for a king. It reminds me of those leadership books. You know the ones they say the CEO should be the first one in and the last one to leave.
I see the parallel for sure. And think about why. It's all to avoid arrogance, you know, and to stay true to God's commands. Even when you're in a position of power, it's about staying grounded. And, you know, Dr. Howard, he argues the same thing in his lecture. Personal engagement with these principles, that's crucial for leadership. He even suggests that the act of writing, just the act, it might have been a constant reminder, like a reminder of the king's duties, you know, and it helped him stay focused on serving the people.
It really makes you wonder if modern leaders should do something similar, right? Maybe not literally copying a law, but, you know, deeply immersing themselves in whatever their guiding principles are. Okay, so we've got this model for kings, but then there's Joshua. He wasn't a king, was he?
No, Joshua was a military leader. But when you get to Joshua 1, the parallels are really amazing.
So this whole model, this leadership model, based on a deep understanding of principles, it wasn't just for kings.
It seems not. God tells Joshua, it's in Joshua 1:7-8, to be strong and courageous, but also to obey the law, meticulously, and this is key, to meditate on it day and night. It echoes what was said to the future king.
Wow, that's fascinating. So it was considered essential, no matter what your title or role was. We've talked about a king and a military leader, but how common was this in the Old Testament? Was it just them, or did it apply to other types of leaders?
That's where Dr. Harrod gets really interesting. He says, this whole concept of scripturally grounded leadership, it's all over the Hebrew Bible. It's not just in Deuteronomy.
So are there other leaders who followed this model?
Absolutely. You've got Ezra and Nehemiah, for example. They both exemplified it. Ezra was a priest and a scholar. He guided people returning from exile. And then Nehemiah, he was a cupbearer to the Persian king. He led the rebuilding of Jerusalem's walls, both deeply rooted in scripture. And you see that in their leadership. But Dr. Howard, he doesn't just give examples. He highlights how this is woven into the very structure of the Hebrew Bible.
Oh, hold on. The structure of the Bible is connected to leadership. How?
Well, think about it. The law, the first part, it culminates with this instruction on leadership, right? That's in Deuteronomy 17. Then the prophets, the next section, it begins with Joshua. Joshua, who's putting this model into practice, that's in Joshua 1. It's like a deliberate transition, isn't it?
That is a really interesting observation. So the law ends with instructions, and then the prophets begin with them being carried out. What about the writings, the third section, do they fit into?
Oh, they do. The writings start with Psalms, right? And they emphasize meditating on God's law. It's like this three-part structure, each section building on the one before. Leadership, it's rooted in something deeper, not just, I don't know, charisma.
It's amazing how these ancient texts have so many layers of meaning. But let's bring it back to today, to our listener. What can we take from this ancient model here in the 21st century? It's not just about reading the Bible, is it?
You're right. Dr. Howard wouldn't say everyone needs to go grab a Torah. But the principle behind it, that's timeless. Grounding leadership in a strong moral framework, that's what matters.
And that framework, it could come from different sources, couldn't it? It doesn't have to be religious.
Exactly. Yeah. Effective leadership, it's not just about, you know, charisma or being strategic.
It's about having a solid foundation, some principles to guide you.
Exactly. It's like having an inner compass. And, you know, we talked about those kings writing out the law. Dr. Howard thinks modern leaders could benefit from something similar. Maybe not copying out a text, but really thinking about their principles. Write down what you believe in, you know, the values you want to live by. What kind of leader do you want to be? There's power in that.
It makes more concrete, right? Instead of these vague ideas, there's something you've put effort into. I can see how that would be helpful, you know, when making tough decisions. You have something to come back to stay true to yourself.
Exactly. It's not just about avoiding bad things, though that's important. It's also about cultivating good qualities, like, I don't know, wisdom.
So it's not just preventing the bad, but also empowering yourself to do good.
Yes. When you study and reflect on those principles, you're learning, you're growing, you're getting new insights, and you start challenging your own assumptions.
That's like the more you learn, the more you realize what you don't know.
Exactly. And that humility, it's so important when you're leading. No one has all the answers, right? We all make mistakes. But a strong moral framework, it helps you approach those challenges with wisdom, with compassion, you know, committed to something bigger than yourself.
It's interesting. We think of wisdom as something you get from experience. But you're saying it can also come from reflecting on your values.
Absolutely. Experience is important, but it's not enough on its own. Think about it. You could have years of experience, but still make bad choices if you're not grounded in something ethical.
So true. You could be a skilled surgeon, but without ethics, that skill could be dangerous.
Exactly. It's not just about what you do, but why you do it. And that's the lesson from this ancient model. True leadership, it's not just about external goals, it's about inner qualities too. Wisdom, humility, integrity.
It's about leading from conviction, not just desire for power. I think that's something we can all aspire to, no matter our role. We've covered a lot, ancient kings to modern leaders and their frameworks. This model has stood the test of time, but how do we actually apply it in our lives?
That's the question, isn't it? And I think it starts by asking yourself some tough questions. Yeah, what principles guide you, you know, whether you're in charge of a company or a team, or even just in your personal life?
What are those values you really care about? The ones that shape how you see the world and how you treat people?
Maybe try writing them down, actually articulating them.
It could help to talk about them with someone, you know, a mentor or a friend, someone you trust to give you honest feedback.
Yeah, or look back at some inspiring texts, traditions that resonate with you.
Or even find new sources of wisdom and guidance.
The important thing is to keep reflecting and growing.
It's about asking yourself, what kind of leader do I want to be? What mark do I want to leave on the world?
And once you've got those principles, how can you understand them better? How can you weave them into your everyday life and your leadership?
It's almost like we're learning from those ancient kings. But instead of copying scripture, we're creating our own leadership, well, manifesto.
Exactly. And remember, this isn't a one-time thing. It's a journey, you know, self-discovery and growth. And as you face new things, different situations, your understanding of your principles might change.
Yeah, you might find new angles or even wrestle with tough choices.
And that's okay. It's not about having all the answers. It's about being open to learning as a leader.
And to grow. And always try to match your actions to your values.
That's the real power of this model. It's not about perfect leadership. It's about the journey. It's messy. It's challenging, but it's rewarding becoming a better leader.
Well said. So a deep dive into ancient Israel, and we end up with some pretty relevant insights for today.
It shows that being a good leader, it's not about a specific time or place. It's a human thing. You know, we have to dig deep, think about our values, and try to be our best.
So to our listener, we leave you with this. What will guide you on your leadership journey? How will you live out those principles? Keep exploring, keep learning, keep leading with purpose. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.